I'm Casey.
And I'm Joe.
And I'm a social entrepreneur and a women's rights advocate.
I'm a small town pastor and a community organizer.
Joe and I are also married.
For 4 lovely years together.
Yep, and we live in a 4-letter town.
4-letter town.
Joe, so just one thing that I really love about you, Joe, is the way you say thank you.
Why, thank you.
Did y'all hear that? Just the way he says that. There's something special, and I've always liked how he said thank you.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
I've been telling him that probably since we first started dating. To me, it sounds like a song. He goes, thank you.
I mean, that's...
Say it again.
Thank you. But seriously,
Did you hear it? It's beautiful. I think it's some kind of romantic kind of way of saying thank you. It really comes from his heart.
That's very lovely, Casey, and I truly do thank you for that. But I know that there are some things that I say that maybe aren't quite as romantic as you make it out to be. And I think that has to do with the 4-letter town that I grew up in. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I know that we have some phrases in central Pennsylvania that are a little unusual, kind of unique to the Pennsylvania Dutch way of living and talking. For instance, I learned in college when I was around a bunch of people who didn't grow up in central PA that the term red up isn't in common use elsewhere. Like, I would tell my classmates that, hey, I've gotta red up my room or something like that because my parents are coming to visit. And they would stare at me blankly. Like, what did you just say? Are you going to paint your walls? What are you redding? It's like, no, it means clean up. Clean up. Has that sounded so strange to you over the years?
See, I've been thinking about that, and I think I've just lived in the north. So I'm originally from Tennessee, and I've lived in the northern states now for over 5 years, which is crazy to think about that I've lived up here that long. And now I don't know if I knew that term when I lived in the south, or I'm just used to it from hearing it from Joe. Now I know what it means, clean up. Like, if I'm cleaning dishes, I'm redding up the kitchen, something like that. But I don't remember if that's a term used in the south. I feel bad about that. So my southern family and friends, please leave in the comments if I knew this term down there or not, or if you use this term. I really want to know what you think about this.
Thank you.
Y'all hear that? It's beautiful.
But, you know, I know that there are things in Tennessee as well that are unique to, I guess, your middle Tennessean way of talking.
Well, yeah, you didn't even talk to my mom, we have some friends from other states in the South, and the accents are different from different states. I mean, my mom and I always talked about how people from Georgia had a different accent than people from our part of Tennessee. We're from the middle Tennessee area. People in the mountain area had more like a mountain southern accent. So we're all in America, but we all have different accents and different words that we use. So there's so many different cultures just in this country, which is crazy.
And since you bring up Georgia and more of the mountains, remember a couple years ago...
Well, not all of Georgia's the mountains.
The northwestern part of Georgia, when we visited Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga.
And we went to and the Chickamauga, which that wasn't the way that you learned to call it.
That was interesting when we went there. People were pronouncing...
Yeah, how do you pronounce that?
I'm not going to say. Oh. I don't know if I'd pronounce it right.
So
we asked lots of different people when we visited the site how they said the name.
I learned a Chickamauga.
I'll say I think I must have learned Chickamauga. But the way that the tour guide down there, he did say it how Joe said it.
But that's
so
not even the
crazy. That could be totally wrong.
That's not even the craziest part. That the craziest southern accent I've heard so far, and this is after, well, we've been married for 4 years, but we've, you know, known each other. We've been together for over 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I've been down to Tennessee and different parts of the South many times, but that trip down to Chickamauga Battlefield, remember we went up on that observation tower.
Yes.
And we were going up that spiral staircase, and there was this other family coming up at the same time. There were, what, a couple kids?
Yeah, like a family with a few children.
And they talked to each other, and I swear, I did not understand a single word coming out of their mouths.
I was cracking up. Joe could not understand them at all, and I could understand them clearly. I thought they were the cutest little kids, and I understood exactly what they were saying, and Joe was just looking at me, and he could not understand them.
Nope, not a word.
But we have an experience of that up here in Pennsylvania as well. That Joe, nor I, nor people that we are with from our church could understand.
Yeah.
That's all. You want to tell a story?
Yeah, we are just over in a neighboring valley close to our four-letter town, and the church folks were running a concession stand at an estate sale so that we could raise some money for the church, you know, like different charitable organizations do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go on with the story.
And we were staffing, I think, the cash register or at the time, right?
We were doing breakfast, and I was serving coffee. You were doing the cash register.
Oh,
some other people were serving other things.
Well, and then a gentleman who was a volunteer firefighter, he was directing people into parking spots on this property, came over, and he was apparently asking for coffee. But, well, it didn't exactly come out that way.
It didn't come out that way at all. We won't say how it came.
Out of respect for this gentleman,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but this goes back to our interesting conversation about accents. I totally, at this point, thought I was hearing a different language as well. But it wasn't. It was English.
This individual's version of English. I don't know that the way he talked is necessarily representative of the central Pennsylvanian way of talking, of the, you know, the Pennsylvania Dutch sub-accent or whatever, but yeah, the words that came out of his mouth did not seem like words. Not even the people from the church who had lived in our four-letter town all their lives could understand him, at least not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it reminded me of when we were down at Chickamauga, and I could not understand a single word that those kids from Georgia were saying.
Yeah, so, but this time we were both in Pennsylvania. So we have so many stories about things like this, just with the English language, and I'm sure those who speak other languages have stories. I know Joe knows Spanish, and
mm-hmm.
I took some Spanish classes as well. And if you even talk about the difference between Uruguayan Spanish and Mexican Spanish, it's different as well.
I mean, I studied for about 6 months in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and people would talk about the difference between, you know, the porteños in Buenos Aires and the people that were out in Cordoba, more in the center of the country. Of course, folks in Buenos Aires kind of look down their nose at everyone else. Yeah, that happens too.
But what is the difference again? I think is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, there are those grammatical differences between Argentine Spanish and kind of the rest of the Spanish-speaking world, but like I said, you know, there's even differences that I couldn't really hear from one city to the next, and that's true in the United States as well, obviously.
Yeah, so in our podcast, we'll be talking about lots of different things around the world, not just small towns in America, but we do represent the small towns in America because that's our history. That's where I'm from. That's where Joe's from. And we'll be lifting up stories of small people in areas where we live and as well.
Yeah. But I guess it's good to know that, you know, this is not something unique to small towns in America or even any place right now. Like, you know, there are stories in the Bible. You know, I'm a pastor. I think about the Bible a lot. It's part of my job, and I love it. And it reminds me of, you know, kind of the country bumpkins of the region of Galilee that Jesus surrounded himself with. Now, these guys, I don't know how they talked, but the way they talked was recognizable from, you know, the more urban elite of the, you know, the capital city of Jerusalem. For instance, when Peter, you know, who's like the head of the church, you know, this is Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church, Jesus said to Peter once. And he was trying to follow Jesus after Jesus had been arrested. I guess some other people had heard him talking, and while Peter was hanging outside of the sham of a trial that Jesus was being put through, someone said, "Hey, you must be one of Jesus' followers, because you talk like a Galilean." And Peter, I imagine, spoke up in, like, a Galilean accent because he can't talk any other way, that, no, that's not me. And I just imagine everyone else is like, yeah, right, how many Galileans are there around here? You can't stop saying that. Just like, you know, I can't really stop sounding like I'm from Pennsylvania Dutch country.
Sometimes I don't sound like I'm from Tennessee, but okay, that's true. It does naturally come out with some words as well.
And yeah,
we'll go into this a bit.
Yeah, well, but something that I love about, you know, you Southerners is your construction of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes so much more sense than saying a plural you. You know,
I mean, but back to the story in the Bible, I feel like I can relate to that. A little bit.
Oh.
And I definitely have had conversations with my family, but sometimes we're put down because of our accents.
Ooh, yeah.
I've been hurt by that. I have experience with people mocking my accent. When I first moved to the northern states, it wasn't easy, I'll be honest. I had more of an accent than I have now. I personally didn't even know it was obvious at all until people started pointing it out to me. I naturally said y'all a lot more than I do now. So I can relate to feeling kind of like, what is my identity? Oh, I kind of felt bad for who I was and ashamed for who I was. I'm at the point that I've outgrown that now, and I'm proud.
Yeah.
I'm back to being myself and proud of who I am, but it was hard. And I think that's something for everyone to remember, that there's so much to our identities, but our unique identities are beautiful, and it's important not to be someone that you're not.
Yeah, I almost feel like I should apologize on behalf of all Yankees for oppressing folks with Southern accents.
I mean,
it's just something that happens, I guess, sometimes, but it's still bad. We shouldn't oppress people. There, how's that?
We shouldn't oppress people.
We shouldn't oppress people, no matter what their accent is. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an important part of our stories. We can't tell our stories without the accents that we grew up with. But it's not only the accents, right? It's also about the very stories that we tell.
Yeah, and this reminds me of one of my favorite TED Talks. It's called The Danger of a Single Story.
Yeah. You showed me that one. I think I saw it while I was in seminary, too.
Yeah, I'm in graduate school for my master's degree in global community engagement, and I did some research with this TED Talk, and then I actually had to study it in a class, and it's just such a beautiful TED Talk about a danger of a single story. So,
yeah, by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up, people.
She's from Nigeria. So she really talks about that We have to be authentic to our cultural voice. And if we only hear a single story, it's about a person or about a country or about a place, we're at risk of misunderstanding so many other critical things about person, place, everything else. So not all stereotypes are good stereotypes.
Yeah.
And we can't use stereotypes to even define a story as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So highly recommend watching it. It's such a beautiful TED Talk. She has great things to say. So yeah. It really helped me understand my identity, I think, and the identity of my family as I watched that TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely, definitely agree with you. That was a wonderful, wonderful TED Talk. There are some stories that we just tell over and over again in our communities. In the four-letter towns that that we grew up in, respectively. For instance, in my hometowns in central Pennsylvania, a lot of small towns in Pennsylvania grew up because of railroads. A lot of the stories I grew up hearing were railroad stories. Even though, you know, when I was growing up as a little kid in the 90s, early 2000s, the railroad didn't employ that many people. But still, like, there was one story in particular that people could point to. Actually, it wasn't only a story, it was like a monument. It was the longest stone arch bridge, maybe it's Mason's stone arch bridge, in the entire world, called the Rockville Bridge.
That's the largest one in the entire world. Are you serious?
It's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
That little place, Duncannon.
Cool. It starts in Marysville and goes across the Susquehanna River.
We actually got married around there. So, what's the bridge in the background of our wedding?
If we had been facing south instead of north, it would have been.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the largest one.
Yeah,
in the world.
Well, and you know, my hometown of Marysville, where I lived the first 10 years of my life, where I went to church, where I did Boy Scouts, it's a big deal. And I remember when I was a teenager that the town put on a big centenary celebration for the completion of the Rockville Bridge, and so my Boy Scout troop and I think the local high school marching band came out to like play patriotic songs so that we could celebrate the railroad and this iconic bridge.
These little towns all over are just so fascinating, and they have so much rich history. I love learning about it, but what's so interesting is, like, this is how Joe knows his town. This is the way he tells the story about this town, but if we're talking more about, like, the danger of a single story, how many other people lived in a town? Thousands or so, right?
Thousands.
Thousands.
Okay. If you include the outskirts, maybe.
Not everyone tells the story of that area the same way that Joe does.
Yeah,
but this is how I learned about that area.
Because you learned about the area from me. Yeah,
I guess it's the same with where I grew up, right?
And that brings up then, like, what stories were important for your hometown, for the four-letter town that you grew up in down in Middle Tennessee?
Man, so I automatically think about the roots of my family in that town. And I sometimes feel guilty that I have left the town and I'm not going to grow my kids up in the same school that my great-grandparents went to, my grandparents, my parents, my aunts. When I went into my middle school, there are pictures of graduations, classes, all the way back to the early 1900s. And my great-grandmother is in one of the pictures. It's big class pictures. So every day when I walked into my middle school, I could look up on the wall and see a picture of my great-grandmother. That is so awesome, right? And then my aunts are on the wall, my dad, my grandmother, their graduation pictures are on the wall as well. And now mine, class of 2009, is on the wall too. Well, I haven't been to the middle school in a long time, so someone will have to tell me if those pictures are still there. But when I was there, we'd go into the auditorium, and we could search for the people that we knew, And it was so cool just to just look up and be like, yep, there's my family up on the wall. We all have these roots in this town. But I know that's not how everybody sees the town.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, because, you know, your hometown, Portland, has grown a lot.
Portland has definitely grown a lot. Every time I go home, I see something, a new store. The grocery store's changed its name a lot.
Yeah.
There's even a new middle school, new elementary schools now since I left the town. But it still feels like home.
Yeah, that's...
And I heard there's a new coffee shop. And there was never a coffee shop when I went there, lived there before. And I think that's pretty cool.
I wonder what stories they tell there.
I know. I know we're going to have to check it out next time we're in.
Yeah. At
some point.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But, you know, there's we can't tell those stories at my high school like that, because my high school, only the school district, only came into existence in the 1950s. So if my family had been here for, you know, the multiple generations that your family has been in North Middle Tennessee, you know, even then there would be no wall of faces. It's just not the way it is. Susquehanna didn't exist prior to the 1950s.
Yeah, but going into, this was actually in the middle school, because the middle school where I went to was actually the high school where my parents graduated high school, but they built a larger one over the years for us. But it's something special about seeing all those graduation pictures, and there's just that tradition, especially in the South, where the girls all wear those solid black dresses in the picture. And we have that in common with people for generations, with our family all the way down the line of our graduation pictures. They look similar in a way, besides the hairstyles. But
well, you don't have the same hairstyle as your great-grandmother?
No. I would love to go back and see those pictures, because I haven't seen them in a long time. And it was just always this really special moment in my heart, seeing those.
So families and bridges, yeah, everyone's gonna tell different stories.
Yeah, you know? Everyone's family's complex. I mean, I say this beautiful part, but there's so many different complexities to a family as well, and that adds to the story too, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I guess, you know, those different stories, that even reminds me of another related story in the Bible.
Okay.
Another Galilean story that, you know, even people within the same region can tell different stories about people in that same region, you know? Just people, you know, and people in Duncan would say different things about people in Marysville, where I grew up, and I bet it was the same in Portland, Tennessee,
yeah,
where you grew up too. Well, the same was true in this region of Galilee where Jesus grew up and where he was active for most of his ministry, according to the Bible. And like there's this great story when Jesus was just starting his public ministry. This is all according to the Gospel of John. And I guess, you know, at the time, there are these traveling rabbis that were gaining followers. And I guess the cool thing for some religious people would be to, you know, check out the different rabbis and see what they were saying. And so one of these very religious dudes named Philip found Jesus, kind of dug what he was saying, and he ran back to tell his buddy Nathaniel about the person he just found. He said, "Yo, Nathaniel, I found this really cool rabbi." And I imagine Nathaniel was like, "Whoa, tell me all about this guy," because Nathaniel was as much of a nerd as Philip, I guess. And Philip said, "Yeah, his name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." And get this, Casey, I love this quote.
It's
one of my favorite quotes in the gospel.
Because it's one of my favorite too. Do you know it?
Nathaniel says, "Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Yeah, and Nazareth is not that far away from where this guy lived. You know, only, I don't know, 20 miles away, still the same region. I bet they had the same weird accent that the people in Jerusalem looked down on. But they still told different stories about each other.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And that story is just always so remarkable every time I think about it, because it relates so well to our world today as well. And that's what we're going to continue doing. And this podcast is lifting up different stories from the small town that we live in here that we're not from. But we have learned so many amazing stories, more stories from places where we're from. We'll talk about the good, the bad.
Maybe even the ugly.
Maybe the ugly.
Maybe.
But it's amazing to think about how we have to unravel these stories to really find the true meaning and let people tell their story as well. So that's what something that I'm passionate about, is just giving people the opportunity to tell their story. Us having that point when we're like, there's so much more to a story than you may have thought. And it's just, it's important to listen.
Yeah, there's a lot more to
a place.
Our four-letter town than just the four letters that make up its name. And sometimes, you know, we want to use the name of the town like a four-letter word, but it's also beautiful. And we want to hear more stories, and we want to share those stories with all of you and all the world, because they are rich and they're complex, sometimes contradictory, and we want to share them.
Yes, we do. So this is a remarkable time for us to be doing this, and we're excited to share stories and have awesome people in conversation with us.
Yep, and that can include you too. So please get into contact with us if you have stories about your four-letter town, your most likely metaphorical four-letter town. You know, let us know. If there are different avenues that you'd like us to talk about through the lens of Central Pennsylvania or
Tennessee,
let us know.
Or somewhere else.
Or somewhere else, for that matter. Yeah. And we'll figure that out, because, you know, stories are not necessarily tied up with a neat bow. Stories go on and take twists and turns, and somehow the lesson emerges from that.
And man, these small towns out here, they have so much history and so many twists and turns, like Joe was talking about. I can't wait to tell the history of this town that's close to us as well in another episode. So we'll talk to everyone later, and thank you.
Peace out, y'all.
See ya.